I want to call your attention to at least a statement or two found recorded in the 42nd Psalm. Verse 5. Here you find and will find David, King David, as he is pouring out his soul, the desires of his heart, and he is talking to himself and talking to God. Sometimes we need to do some reflecting. David was no different. And in verse 5, he asked himself this question. It's hard not to read the preceding verses, but excuse me, maybe we can get the connection here. He finds himself cast down. He was a real person. And more than likely, every one of us in the congregation this morning would say, sometimes I find myself that way. Then he asked himself the question, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance, that is, his presence. I want to say a few words this morning about hope. Now, I know our main theme this morning is one of the ordinances that Christ left in the church. And we might wonder, what does this have to do with the subject of hope? And really, it has everything to do with it. David asked himself the question, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Soul, you're cast down for some reason. Our souls, as we face the challenges of life, have great reason to be cast down. Our life is a journey. That's not news, I know. But when the children of Israel came across the Red Sea, across the Jordan, God said, the land that I give you to possess is a land of hills and valleys. We pass through many emotional valleys. I thought of what Paul said when he said, in this life we have no certain dwelling place. And I suppose all of us have had a comfortable bed to sleep in last night. We have our residences, but beyond that, we don't have a certain dwelling place. I'm not talking about where we live. That's our address. We have a permanent address. But our emotions are up and down. Today, everything is going in an unchallenged manner. It just couldn't be any better. And then, like Job, life brings its messengers to us and gives us the news. And it only takes one messenger, one telephone call, in the reality of life to change our priorities for the rest of our life. And it's certain for that day. But in all the changes that we face, I think most people would say, I feel certain of that, if we are honest with ourselves, that we're living now, not someday, but we're living in a challenging time. How often have you heard people express to you, and maybe you have expressed to them. I just don't know what we're going to do. Within the last recent day history, institutions that we have relied upon as being solid, they're gone. Great challenges have come. And today, people up and down the coast, what are we going to do? Our livelihoods are gone. We're trying to save a bird one by one. And that shows great compassion. But what are we going to do? Our 401k is gone and the banks are gone. Some of them, we own them. What are we going to do? Well, isn't it wonderful this morning if we could stop in all of this maze and find something permanent? Find something that hasn't changed, and I'll just say this briefly. Well, Malachi 3:6 will say this, I am God and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, or the elect, are not consumed. The reason we're not consumed is because of the unchangeableness of God. Some things change. Notions change. But God doesn't change. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. If we lay aside all of our hope and just look at the immediate surroundings, what do we have to hope for? But we still have an anchor. Notice what he said, hope thou in God. The word hope through the scripture and especially into the New Testament, it is a word that's lost its meaning to most of us today. I may see you and you may see me, and I say, we'll see you tomorrow. I hope to see you. I hope I can do this. That's not the kind of hope that the Bible is talking about. Hope thou in God. In the 7th chapter of the book of Hebrews, I believe it's the 19th verse, I'll turn over in case I don't want to give you the wrong reference, but I feel sure that's where it is. Paul said, For the law made nothing perfect. 19th verse. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. The law is talking about the Mosaic law that we're not under today. The law made nothing perfect. They came every day, every year, and they slaughtered a sacrificial animal. They offered the blood upon the altar. But it never made anything perfect. Even the priests themselves had to have, Paul said, somewhat to offer. But when Christ came, the bringing in of a better hope did. When he died on Calvary's cross, he was the Lamb of God. John 1, verse 29. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin, S-I-N, that's every sin you can think of the world. He took it away. He bore it away. He bore it away as the scapegoat into a land of forgetfulness. The bringing in of a better hope did. How good it is to have this hope. Let me define the word hope as it's mentioned here. It's not maybe, but hope is the expectation of the person to perform. hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, the expectation of Christ to perform in my behalf. When I fail, when you fail, when you falter, when you have our weak moments and we have challenges and ask why, we have hope. What is that? The expectation of Christ to perform every promise that he ever made. His promises, the unconditional promises that he has made, are not conditioned upon our ability to stand up and make it. It's based upon the immutability of the unchangeableness of God. I said a moment ago that baptism has everything to do with hope. Baptism, if you can think of a better definition of this, I know the definitions of the scripture, but I thought of it like this, and I'll give it to you to think about. Baptism is the outward action of our inward hope. Now, what does that mean? Baptism is our outward action of our inward hope. Baptism is a type of the resurrection. Baptism, according to the Bible, Romans 3, and we won't get into that too much, but buried with him by baptism. So, baptism is a type of death and burial and resurrection. It is the only type that can be manifested in baptism is when we go down into the water. And like in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, if you remember, there was a man traveling through the desert. He was an Ethiopian eunuch. He was reading his scripture. He didn't have the New Testament like we have today. He had a scroll. It's a heavy, burdensome, as far as his printing. Wasn't print with typeset, it was written out. And he was reading there from the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. In our Bible, it's the 53rd. They didn't have chapter and verses then. But he was confused in his mind on who Isaiah was talking about. Was Isaiah talking about Isaiah or talking about the Christ? And Philip began at the same scripture and preached to him Jesus. And I do believe with all my heart that any preacher, whoever it might be, including myself, if I can say that, if we're going to preach, we need to start with the scripture and start with Jesus. Because he's the answer. And as they traveled along, the Ethiopian said, "Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And if we studied that a little closer, I believe that's the 38th verse that we're starting about there. If we began to study that a little more in depth, we would find these words: "And he commanded the chariot to stand still." Now watch this. See how clear this is. "And they both, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water. And he," that is Philip, "baptized him." Now, if we look that word up in the Greek, which I'm not going to get all involved in this, but I think probably everyone will remember. And they both went down into the water, and Philip dipped, baptized him, and then they came up out of the water. Now we don't have the Jordan River here this morning, or some other river, or a moat around the building, but we do have enough water for us to go down into the water. And the person being baptized is saying by their actions, I believe that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was buried. He died. And he died on Calvary, and he was buried about 6 o'clock that evening in a tomb. He was completely enclosed, a barred tomb at that. It was only for 3 days, because that's all he needed it. But then he rose from the dead. When we bury someone in the water, baptized, dip, it means to plunge. It means to overwhelm as a ship that's in the sinks in the sea, water. Then they rise to again to walk in newness of life. Now I know, and the dear ones that are awaiting baptism do not believe that going down into the water will make them children of God. But that they already are blessed to be children of God. And this is an expression of their hope. That their Lord died and was buried and rose again the third day. I want to read another verse or two from the 6th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Wonderful book. I will just start with the 19th verse. I'd like to read more, but we don't have the time. Paul expresses something here. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that which is within the veil, whither the forerunner is entered, even for us, even also for us. The forerunner is the first runner. The forerunner was one that went ahead of whoever he was forerunning for, goes ahead of the king. John the Baptist was the forerunner of our Lord. He came to make way. Our Lord and Savior went to the grave and he made a way. He went into heaven before us and he intercedes for us this morning. So as we go into the water, it is a reminder. It is an expression of hope that my Savior went into the water. We need hope. And hope shines brightly when it's used. In our land, our journey, I'm talking about our spiritual journey through life. We have things happen to us, and we wonder if we can cope. We have things happen to us, and we wonder if we could never have imagined it. As we sit in this beautiful country today, land of freedom that we have. When we reflect in our mind just a few years back, things have changed. And sometimes things change so slowly you don't know when they're changing. And then you look back and you see the extent of it and you say, things have really changed. I cannot believe that I'm hearing today what I'm hearing. Things that challenge the very soul. Countries in turmoil. And I'll tell you this, in closing, I cannot tell you how many times and how many people I hear the Lord's children say, Brother Bill, I can't begin to tell you how my church is changing. Wherever they worship, I'm not getting into that. We're having things forced on us today that I can't even stomach. This is not some liberal organization somewhere beyond the shores of the... That's in our own churches. But don't give up hope. Our earthly hope shines brighter as we use it. Our encouragement as we meet together and know that God is still on His throne. His throne is unshaken. It may look like it as the world is coming apart, but His throne is stable. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. David said, I'm like a young hart in the first verse. As thirsts the hart after the water brooks, O God. So thirsteth my soul after thee. He wanted to come and get a drink of water. Spiritual water, refreshing water in a changing world. As we witness this ceremony, this ritual, this rite, it's one of the two ordinances that Christ put into the church. One was His broken body. Shed blood. That was one. The other was a picture of what it represented. And we will see that soon. We'll stand and sing a hymn. We want to unite with the church and wait on you at this time.